It is so hard to put into words just how much we're going to miss this show, but we're going to try to. We're going to break down this series finale with special guests Emile Ennis Jr. and Cornelia Stradwick. Stay tuned. We've got that coming up after this.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
Oh, Lord.
Can we take it all in, guys?
Pouring out my fake wine for Rosen.
Favorite.
Moment of silence.
What an iconic song.
Fitz and Olivia song.
This is a song for all the loyal Olitzers. Welcome to our after show, guys. It's a somber mood tonight. We are sad. It's bittersweet. But we're going to try and get through all of our thoughts and feelings and emotions, not just about tonight's series finale, but about the amazing 7 seasons that we've had with this amazing show. Thank you for joining us tonight. I'm your host, Christine, and I am joined by the full panel, Tessa, Paris, and Jessica. And we brought back the OG crew. Yeah. Hi.
What camera are we looking at? Oh, hello.
Hi. Please.
Y'all in reverse side. In the guest seats.
Yes, welcome. Previous hosts of the Scandal After Show, Emile Ennis Jr. and Cornelia Stradwick.
Hi, guys.
Thank you for coming.
Thank you for having us. Yes.
Oh, God. This is pretty amazing. And just for our new viewers who just know us, these two started, Emile in particular, he started season one, day one,
episode one
by himself, sitting here at AfterBuzz TV when AfterBuzz was new, and then jumping on, I mean, just, it's just epic.
Yeah, he started.
It's
and
epic.
Then it was something.
Yes.
It's epic.
Yes. It was,
you guys.
It was me and Mari Fagel, who's friends with Maria Menounos, in studio. Sophia joined episode 3, because we recapped episodes 1 and 2 in the first episode. Mm-hmm. Then Bam joined episode 4, I believe. Cornelia joined season 2. I'm emotional. I've had some wine.
Yes.
And he got a paper towel, so his face is about to be.
I'm there with you. Survival kit for Scandal, guys.
Oh, God.
And our viewers have been asking, bring them back, come back. So this is for you guys. This is for all of our loyal viewers for over 7 seasons.
I really want to start the show by thanking you guys so much for tuning into our show, for giving us a chance. I know when our panel took over season 6, you know, it was very different. Some of y'all were mad.
we're the whole crew.
we're gonna keep it a buck because it's the last day. A lot of you were upset, but I'm so glad that we worked our way into your hearts. Yeah, you guys gave us a chance. And we were able to bring our take to the Scandal world. Just like the cast is, we're a fam here. And it's been amazing hosting with you guys. I'll get into all that later. But I want to just get into the episode because everyone in the live chat is going off about their feelings, whether they were underwhelmed or overwhelmed about this finale. So just to get the temperature in the room, how were you guys? Underwhelmed, overwhelmed, satisfied? Are you missing something? Do you feel satisfied?
Let's kick it to
As one of the OGs, I think I'm a little. This show in general has a special place in my heart because it was literally the very beginning of my hosting career. So to see it end, I don't have like any feelings of whether it was good or bad. It's just I remember at the genesis of the show when it started, there was no character like Kerry Washington on television. There was no black female lead on television. And now, like, it seems like a commonplace. You have shows, you have these movies, but at the time, it was such a huge deal to have a female African-American lead who wasn't a stereotype, who was, like, actually breaking barriers. And regardless of whether or not the finale did the job, because first of all, I'm just going to be real transparent. I text Cornelia after I finally caught up with all the episodes. I wasn't here for your episode when you recapped this particular episode, but I still don't understand how Quinn fit in the suitcase. So they're going to need to they're going to need to explain that for me because she was pregnant. Can't nobody fit in the suitcase, but I'm going to let that go eventually.
It was
true.
The family.
Yeah, we
like, even, with, where you have like the extra zip out, she can't fit, but I'm gonna let it go. Regardless, they had to wrap it up. They had to like put a pin on it. Do I think everything was realistic? No. But has it been on this show? No. Yeah. So if you like, what does Sophia used to always say? Suspend like your
disbelief.
Yeah. She used to say suspend your disbelief. If you do that and just realize that they had to wrap it up and it is what it is, I'm sad that David had to die.
I know.
Yeah, I'm just I just let me be.
Yeah, I agree. I think the show served its purpose for us. Because at one point, and this is just me being honest, it jumped the shark a couple seasons ago where every people were like, listen, I can't watch this. Because it was a totally different show. Right. It got back on track. This season, me and Emil would be talking. I'd be like, yo, Scandal is good again. Like, it was a really good show. So regardless of how it ended, if you think it was realistic or not, if so-and-so did this and you don't think Olivia should have did that, for me, the purpose of the show was it was the first show that brought people together and watched TV together socially on social media.
Yeah, they weren't doing that before. They were not doing that before Scandal. Yes.
Scandal was the first show that had us glued to the TV and tweeting and Facebooking about a show, and which is one of the reasons why it was renewed for season two, because it was so powerful. So I think for that purpose, it served its purpose, and it buttoned it up well.
Yeah.
I can agree with that. I was overwhelmed with emotion, but in terms of the actual show, I agree with you. I think they pinned it up nicely. Very upset that David had to die. I think we were right in our prediction that someone had to. I just absolutely did not think it was going to be David.
Who'd you think it was going to be?
We were all betting that it was going to be Cyrus or Jake, I think we said last season.
Yeah, like one of the bad guys.
One of the bad guys, but then I guess it would be... Is that cliche? I don't know if that's really cliche with Scandal, because they've had so many cliches happen. But I didn't think it was going to be David until the exact scene, the way it was framed up, where it was like, okay, that's what's going to happen. But I'm happy with the way it ended. I am. I got my Olitz ending. justice was served one way or another. And the only thing that I was disappointed about was the fact that Huck didn't really get... I know he's like a minor character, but he's still a gladiator, and I don't feel like there was anything special about his send-off. Even Marcus got a better ending. That's true. He's with the President of the United States, and he was a gladiator who came on later. I also, for some reason, was hoping that there would be an Easter egg dropped about Harrison, maybe throwing it back to like the older seasons, but we didn't get that. So otherwise, I'm okay with it.
We definitely didn't get no Harrison.
Nothing. Not even a trace. Not even like
Harrison,
right?
Yeah. They did so well bringing in our past characters that we love. Hollis Doyle. I mean, we got our Sally Langston back last week, and I think, I don't know, I agree. Like, it's hard to say like overwhelmed, underwhelmed, because of course there were little niches that's like, okay, like, does that make sense? That kind of happened quick. But at the same time, what could they do? There was one more episode, and they had to kind of put a pretty bow onto it. It hasn't hit me yet. Like, I was emotional watching it, but it hasn't fully hit me that this is, like, over. You know? Like,
it'll hit you next Thursday.
It's over. Like, I need to go back and fully watch it. It's a little bit different because we do the show, so we're in the trenches of watching it, talking about it, but actually letting it settle in. I'm still processing.
I'm with you. I'm still processing. I'm satisfied, but I have to say I'm a little disappointed in Cyrus's ending. I get that his punishment is that he has to live with himself and he's devastated. I get that, but I wanted him outed. I wanted everyone to know the evil that is Cyrus. And it's just him having to live with it, which is painful, but I wanted more. He deserves it all. He deserves to be like crucified. So I was a little unsatisfied with that.
Agreed.
Yeah. I am satisfied. That's kind of all I can say right now.
A lot of people in the chat agree they wanted Cyrus to either have died or have gotten a harsher punishment for everything that happened. And I have to say, I agree. Like, he was the villain towards the end, but he was one of the principal characters to begin with. So I guess Shonda couldn't go that far with him, which I don't know. I guess I wanted her to take that risk with the last episode, but it's all good.
Or maybe this, because when we really think about Cyrus and his character arc throughout the whole series, he's not the worst one on the show.
He's not.
He's not the worst one on the show. This season, he was the bad guy because, he wanted the Oval and he wanted to be president. But if we're talking about people who paying the price for what they did, I don't, I'm not surprised that Cyrus didn't really take a hit because Jake did kill, James.
Oh, don't bring that up.
He was a little terror. Like, everybody else had their moment, and Cyrus was always dirty, but he always managed to kind of stay clean in a sense. So I wasn't surprised that he didn't really take a fall because if other people should take a fall, Rowan should have took a fall and Jake should have took a fall. Those two, they were the worst.
They were.
I feel like I needed Cyrus to lose custody of his child.
Wasn't he? She living with like his little prostitute husband?
Wow, you got to call him a prostitute.
He said it himself.
Mm-hmm. We'll call him an escort to be nice.
I agree. He should have. Something should have happened, but I think perhaps because all that stuff transpired when he was in prison.
I was thinking about that too. Yeah.
So we've seen him in jail, and we've seen him, you know, go down for something that maybe he was or wasn't involved in. And I agree. I guess he is. His hands are clean and all of their sins are the same. You know, like everything that he's done in the past, Olivia's been with him. Everyone's been with him along the way. So, but Jake, y'all know how I feel about Jake now.
How's that?
Big moment for me because I have always been a Laker. I was totally done. I threw Jake entirely away this season. This episode, I didn't feel bad for him. I wouldn't have went to see him. The only thing is, like, he just should not have gotten involved in the first place. Period. Point blank. Him switching sides last minute, switching from Ellie to Cyrus. Now you in jail for the rest of your life. Catch that team.
But, you know, it goes back to that conversation that Liv and Cyrus had when he was in jail, talking about the debt had to be paid. Yeah. And I think the way that they wrapped this up this episode was Jake paid the debt for everybody's sins in Scandal. It really came down to that. And I knew... I mean, that part when Papa Pope was testifying, and he's like, listen, you need to give the people somebody, like, but okay, it's not going to be me, it's going to be Jake, so someone had to go down for it.
It's just kind of ironic because he was always the one who had, like, no ties to anyone and no family and no loyalty, and yet he was the one that took the fall.
I know.
He had family, he just killed her.
True. But you know what I'm saying? They all like prided themselves in being like, we'll go over a cliff for everyone and da 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 da. We're gladiators. And Jake was always like, solo.
Yeah. So he's going to be solo in prison. That's why.
He's still solo, I guess.
But he's happy because he's like living in the sun. I don't know. It just doesn't feel right him being in jail.
Prison will be a breeze for him. I mean, he's B613. He's gonna be fine in prison.
Because he's been a hole.
Yeah, I feel like this is going to be easy for him. Anyone tries to go for him, like, he can protect himself.
He gets some food. Yeah,
he's chilling there.
Drinking that prison wine.
That prison wine.
Making the toilet.
They got TV in there.
Oh, my God.
They got Facebook. They be on cell phones in jail.
We seen, I was about to throw some shade. Y'all ain't caught up on Real Housewives of Atlanta. Sheree be calling her Tyrone.
He be
calling her, you have a call from the federal prison. They be so shady on Real Housewives.
Oh, my God.
They put on loop.
Right.
Oh, side God. Note. We digress.
Side note, right? Well, someone didn't make it out of this season. That was David Rosen. Do you think that had to happen? Or could we have done without that in this finale?
I think we could have done without it. I mean, I did think there needed to be a death. But his is not that important. It makes me sad because he's always the good guy. But it wasn't even so shocking that I'm like, God, I can't, you know, I feel like if you're going to have a death, make it big. Rosen was just like an easy way out, I think.
Honestly, I just feel like, first of all, I feel like the finale should have been longer than an hour.
Yes.
Agreed.
Yep. I feel like it didn't feel rushed, but in a way it did.
It did.
It felt like like I said earlier, like it felt like everything just tied up too neatly and I don't know, I don't want to say it felt like an afterthought, but it kind of just felt like we need to end this show. Let's end it. Okay, cool. It's done. You know what I mean?
Killing David.
Did you feel rushed?
A little bit.
Yeah. I felt like that. At some
little
parts
bit
too.
Because if it was for a show that had like such an impact in the TV landscape, it just seemed like kind of, why are you only giving it an hour?
Yeah.
Including commercials, like 45 minutes. Like, why? Why? I just need it more.
Well, but then which storyline would have gotten built out? Because something would have had to get stretched.
the B613 storyline, I think they threw it in last week, and that could have really expanded because there's so many levels to it. I mean, that's something that we started off from the beginning with. So to see it unravel and to have all these people in that moment that Rowan came to testify was like such a big moment. Yeah. But it was like,
okay, cool, button. Oh, it's done. And I was like, oh. That was easy. I don't know. Yeah, like, I don't know.
Yeah. I also enjoyed Rowan's monologue about white privilege and everything, but it kind of felt out of place to me in the context of where that was in the episode.
You thought so? I liked it because he was basically saying, and Shonda Rhimes wrote this episode, and Rowan, his monologues are always nuggets for black people, not for necessarily his character.
Right.
So.
Right.
I appreciated it because he was pretty much saying, we built this country. Mm-hmm. We've been protecting and dying on the sand for y'all. And y'all sitting up in here with your suit on looking all cute with your gel in your hair. Like, I appreciated it being at the end like that. Because after Olivia tried to fix it, after Guillermo or Huck and Katie Lowe's Quinn, after all of these people came and tried to fix it, here comes the black man. That's like, to me, it was placed like, okay, so here I am to clean it up for y'all again. Like, that's why I appreciated it where it was.
Yeah.
And his honesty.
I appreciated the monologue and it was facts only, but I felt like they were just trying to find a place to put this factual monologue in.
That's how I felt too. Like, I'm not mad that it was said. It was just necessarily about where it was.
Yeah.
But I, you know, with the writing, Shonda had to leave us with like real life truths and gems. She always finds a way to drop that somewhere. And even down to the very ending, which honestly shot me to death, like tears, just seeing those two black girls go to the museum and see that beautiful jaw-dropping portrait of Olivia Pope. And, you know, that will inspire them. And just, I don't know, like it was just a really great image to see.
But I wonder what that image means. Like, why is she up there? Well, you know, they don't know
why it got there. But she was the backbone behind both of those presidencies. Like, it's not like she normally gets
paintings like that.
You better spill that tea.
I think it goes back, if y'all remember, when Marcus was helping Fitz set up his foundation. Mm-hmm. And he was talking about where does Olivia Pope fall in this story? What is her legacy? Mm-hmm. So I think because he got his, you know, gun control bill pushed and now he's like making some type of moves finally. I think that Marcus had something to do with, or that conversation with Fitz kind of spurred it. And they wanted to wrap it back, of course, to Michelle Obama. Y'all know that famous portrait in that moment. So,
you know what I will say? I'll say, to say what when we were talking about earlier, if you were saying, like, if it was 2 hours, what we have seen, I think I just want it for a show that had such an impact, and I think I'm just biased because I just love the show. If we're getting this show off the air, I think I just wanted to see more of the aftermath, because this episode, it was a lot of, okay, are they going to go to jail? The B613 fallout and all that stuff. Okay, Jake's in jail. Olivia, like, wraps it up with him. Like, even the Jake scene, I didn't need that. That was too long. Like, I didn't care about, like, her saying goodbye to Jake.
Same with the Cyrus
scene. Exactly. Like, I wanted more of, and granted, like, the Cyrus thing was cool because, you know, he always wanted that. So to see him, like, look down at the seal, like, I understood the, I just wanted more of. Of everything else, to see the aftermath, where, like you said, where did Huck go? Like, what is the aftermath of all these different things? What is Abby going to do after she says goodbye to David? Like, for a show that had such an impact, I really just wanted to see more.
Yeah. It's like they didn't show us anymore to, like, kill all hopes of any spinoff. Or any sort of, like, don't even imagine anything else.
Because I don't need a spinoff.
It's going to be done.
Because what would the spinoff be? Let's be real. Right. Like, what would the spinoff be?
Vermont.
No, we're good. We're good.
QPA and
a Someone said a B613 spinoff.
That's a no.
That's like, that's like when they made Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. to me. I was like, what? This is like a spinoff of...
I wouldn't mind that if she took it to Netflix and did it the way that we would want to see it, with the blood and the gore and the actual, in the trenches. Like, I wouldn't want to see it on ABC. I would want that to be, if she did it, I'm not asking for it, but trust. But then put it on a cable platform so she can really breathe.
Ooh, I like this comment. Somebody said five years later, flash forward for the last 5 minutes episode would have been cool. I agree.
That's what I predicted. Yeah. That would have been what I wanted. I kept waiting for my 5 years later. I'm like, oh, see, you're not going to do it?
It almost seems like the way they ended it with Liv and Fitz saying hi to each other, it's like, are we just starting over? Is it just like,
I like that.
No, I liked it, but that's the sentiment I got.
Yeah.
Like, I start over again.
Yeah. I think that, I don't know, like the whole, we talked about it so much on this panel, just like, oh, it's going to end with a Litz. And I like that she didn't have Carrie's moment defined by a man. And I think that speaks to what Tony Goldwyn said when we interviewed him last week.
Check that out.
Yeah, go watch that interview. He literally was like, this show is not about Carrie, not about Olivia and her relationships. Like, that is not the basis. It's about what a female can do, what a black female can do when she's in power and the moves that she can make. So I think that if they would have ended it like, oh, they're going to go to Vermont, because I thought she was going to say that. In that moment that Melly was like, what's next?
Yeah.
I thought she was gonna be like, Vermont, making jam. But I'm happy because it's like, okay, let's tangle. Hi, nice to meet you. Mm-hmm. Let's get acquainted.
And I took it as it speaks to how Olivia and Fitz's relationship is. Mm-hmm. It's up and down, up and down, up and down. It's the, I'm so into you. And then it's the, I hate your guts. Let's not talk again. I don't know if I want to do this because it's wrong. Mm-hmm. So the high, I took it as typical Olitz. Hi. How many times have you seen her say that to Fitz? Yeah. Like, she's been saying that since season one. So I was like, okay, they're good again. They're good now.
Mm-hmm.
Aww.
I was just watching you because you know you used to hate Olitz.
I used to take the most heat because I was anti Olitz.
We get heat too.
Fitz was just so whiny, and he was just so.
Mm-hmm. Were you a Lake cool though? Now.
I was more Olitz, or I was more for Olitz mainly because they knew what that was. Jake was the only one who was kind of like, okay, this is weird. And Olivia was using Jake, yes, and he was like her little whipping boy, but I felt like we were clear about what this was, the back and forth with Olitz, and then he was still married and he was being a little punk sometimes. I just couldn't take that.
Yeah.
I used to get dragged every week.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Mm-hmm. I bet.
It's real.
There were so many little like Easter eggs in this episode, kind of calling back to previous
Easter
seasons.
Easter eggs.
So cute. Yeah, that's what they're called. Like, I loved the take off your clothes that Fitz said to Olivia. That was like a play, calling back to season one, I think episode two. That was what he said to her in that tape of them having sex. Mm-hmm. That was used in the Amanda Tanner scandal.
Oh,
I like that. It was like, he was like, take off your clothes. Yeah. And no one knew who was on the recording, but it was really Olivia. So yeah. I was like, yes.
Yes.
Love that.
Gosh, way to.
Like, I like that. There was also one in the scene with David and Jake. I'm forgetting the exact line now. Was it, I always liked you, David? Like, is that how he started when he killed James?
Mm-hmm. Well, it was the be smart.
That's where it started.
Because that's when he was like, do you want to get shot or are you going to be smart about the situation? And then he was like, yeah. And then that's why he was under Jake for all this time.
Yeah, I like that.
But that little give and take, I get what they were trying to do, but it did feel very forced. Like, is he going to kill him? No. But yet Cyrus did. There's so many things that was wrong about that scene. Like Cyrus going, poisoning him after Olivia did her wine, her wine poison thing a couple of episodes ago that we were dying laughing over. But I don't know that. Of course, he was going to die.
Like, too predictable.
Too predictable.
Yeah, like, why did Abby let him go alone? Yeah, like, he literally left their bed in the middle of the night. Oh, let me just go meet up with the person we're going against.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Why?
And the fact that it was reported on the news that David Rosen died at Cyrus's house. The AG that's, you know, investigating you, nobody had nothing to say about it. Oh, it was a random heart attack.
And like, this youngest ever.
Yeah. That pissed me off. Like,
why Sally Links and they said, lovers of liberty. Did I just drool? You know I got a drooling problem. I'll always be drooling. Oh, God.
But you know what? That scene with Rosen and Jake, I feel like they needed that scene because they were trying to show. I mean, like, Rosen has been weak this whole series. He's been like such a weak pushover character. So I feel like they were trying to show that Rosen has finally got his strength. He's found his voice. He's standing up to this guy who's threatening to kill him, which I don't know if I could do. I mean, he called him a bitch. Like, that's a lot. So I think they were trying to show us, like, look at Rosen. He's strong, but didn't last too long.
He was trying to pull a Melly.
He was trying. I mean, he pulled a full Melly. Pretend he's strong, but really, you ain't strong. That's a full Melly.
Does anyone, I mean, we're not going to get to see it play out, but does anyone low-key think Marcus is going to become the new Liv for Melly now that they're together? I feel like...
Well, he's been the Liv.
He's been
Olivia's.
I was hoping they moved him over to How to Get Away with Murder.
A lot of people say that in the live chat.
He out of a job. They... They need you, fam. Yeah.
I think
here.
So.
Like, move over.
I want to see the
move to Philly. Where are they? Philly.
It can still happen, though.
Yeah.
Let's it can.
Like, oh, you know, it didn't work out with me and the president. Right. So what's good?
What, no, he says, what up, though?
What up, though? Right.
What up, though?
Oh, man.
That would be interesting. Nice. It would be kind of weird, honestly, right now, because it's still so fresh to see Scandal characters on another show, like, I know. Fully on. Like, it's just too fresh for me right now. Like, if I were to see, like, Fitz playing a love interest somewhere, I'd be like, hold on, fam. In my mind, you're supposed to be somewhere with Carrie, so.
In the sun.
Slow down. Exactly. Yeah. So
I want to know what you guys think about Olivia's, I don't know, walk of righting her wrongs this episode. Like, her going to Fitz and, like, I was the problem. It was me that was the problem. Going to Jake and literally saying, like, it's my fault that you're here because I should have kept you in the sun with me. So what did y'all think particularly about the I'm the problem? I wasn't a fan of it.
Her she taking. Always does that. Olivia has said that same speech in some regard at some point to pretty much everybody. Mm-hmm. She done something to hurt somebody. It blows back and she's like, oh, I'm the one. That's me. And then they make up and we go back to doing the dance. Hence, we always getting taken back to that white Diana Ross hat. You know what I mean? It's always coming back to the hat. So this episode to me was just classic everybody. It was typical, like, that was their character and that's their personality. That's her personality. Quinn's personality with Charlie, that's her personality. Huck with the I have to testify in front of 15 people, that was his personality. So when that came and that part and her saying that to Fitz, I was like, oh, okay, cool.
But she's I still, felt like she was taking herself. Responsibility for everything. I don't know why. I felt like she was taking responsibility for the weight of the last 7 seasons. How she said it, she was like, everything. I always thought I could fix things. I always thought I could do this, but it's always been me. It was me. And it was like,
yeah, she's the reason why they're all testifying. Like, she's the reason why B613 is out there.
I just felt like, even beyond this episode, I thought that she was, and that was, I was like, no, but you've been saving people and handling stuff.
But, well.
Yes and no.
Yeah.
I'm on the side of it kind of is all her fault. I'm on that side.
I'm with you.
I'm on that side with the election rigging. Remember, if we go back to the election rigging, she was the deciding vote into if they're going to do it or not. Okay. It was her. When it came was she the one who decided to kill Amanda Tanner? No, they ain't have nothing to do with her. They didn't have nothing to do with her. But I feel like, just thinking back, if she wouldn't have inserted herself into certain situations, they probably would have been off a little better off. Quinn, when Lindsay Dwyer and the whole Lindsay Dwyer situation happened, she was the one who got Quinn and took her and made her Quinn, and then Quinn became B613 and became this killer. If Olivia would have left her alone, Lindsay would have just been Lindsay.
Huck was
a homeless man. He was like homeless in the subway. He wouldn't have killed anyone. He just would have been homeless.
Yeah,
I think it's like a gift and a curse to be Olivia Pope, honestly, because she wields so much power and has so much influence. So it's like, I just feel like things had to play out that way. I don't know. That's the cliche thing to say, but if she hadn't done all the things that she's done, we wouldn't have a show. And they wouldn't. True. They wouldn't be in the places that they were. Like, they all think about being just fixers and lawyers in her office to people who, you know, chief of staff, wielding power, making decisions that they've made. Like, they've come such a long way, despite all of the hardships that they each had to endure and sacrifices that they all made.
True.
And they all got an itch of that power and wanted it too. So I don't know. I think it's a little bit of everything.
They did.
I think they would have each had more of a white hat though without her. Like, Abby also turned pretty cold. Everyone would have probably been less dark without Olivia. If they were just like OPA, that one being white hats, that was enough. Being gladiators was enough. Like, Liv brought them into, like, White House.
Well, because she was involved in the White House.
Right. So that's why I thought her apology was necessary. I'm like, yep. Tell them it is.
Oh, God.
I see him.
My goodness.
But shout out to our live chatters. Yes. Bex G said it really is all Liv's fault.
Well,
and that sums it up.
Well,
they said, how are we not crying right now? How are we not?
Melly Bear says, Huck is really a big deal.
I cried during the show. Yeah, like, at this point, actually, at the end, I may still cry. Let me be quiet.
I know. When I go back and rewatch it, I'm just going to sit, because I like to watch it all the lights off. Just looking real creepy at the TV like that. Yeah, so I'm going to cry then.
You really painted that scene. I can picture it.
Yeah. What's next you got when you do that?
Wine and popcorn.
Okay, okay.
Wine and popcorn on deck.
Trivia fashion. Oh my gosh.
Although she didn't have wine this episode.
She didn't.
She didn't.
No. I was so bummed about that.
But we did get a white coat, that white trench at the end.
It was fierce.
We got the walk. Is back.
Yeah, the walk is definitely back.
Ugh. Guys. Yeah. You know, this show, honestly, is, we talked about it in the beginning about its impact on social media and just the togetherness that it created with the TV watching experience. And it's, I feel like it's like cemented in pop culture to me because everyone's going to know Olivia Pope, that walk, all her signature things, even in the Netflix series, Dear White People. They were all watching
parody series.
Defamation or something.
Yeah. Defamation. That's what it was called. And everybody was sitting around like, oh, girl, did you see that? And it was completely like Scandal. And to just see that alone is like, damn, yo, Scandal really was that show.
It's so true.
I'm gonna miss that.
And Kerry Washington literally being the first black woman since 40 years. I can't do the math real quick. But 40 years since there's been a lead actress that's been black on a TV series.
On a major network, what? Yeah.
And now you got Taraji, you got,
I mean, Viola.
Viola. So, Megan Good was on Deception for a second.
Oh my God. Love that show.
Half second.
Yeah. Oh, live chat. Y'all are, are we talking about The Walking Dead here? What's going on?
What they say?
And all in caps.
Oh, so are we happy with Olivia's legacy?
Yes, because we talked about her legacy a lot, and I feel like it's a great question. Because with those two little girls watching her painting, I feel like it wrapped it up, and I feel like I am happy with the legacy she left.
Well, somebody in the chat said something about those little girls looking at the president's mistress. So the question is, is her legacy, if we're talking about all of Olivia and from the beginning, from the end, her coming in and winning the election for Fitz, people not knowing her being like his the head of his campaign, getting him in the White House, but then turning into the side chick, quote unquote, the mistress, but then becoming the girlfriend, the official girlfriend.
For the first time, yep.
And having that being that staple, what is her legacy? What would her legacy be? Will people still call her the mistress? Would people think she's the Monica Lewinsky of Fitz? Or would they think she's more of, you know, like, no, his right hand?
Right.
How do we feel about her?
Sex sells, so people will think about that first.
It'd probably be half and half. People will probably say she's the Monica Lewinsky. Mm-hmm. I could see that.
Especially even remember, haters. Was it the last episode? What was the episode where the girl moved to D.C. and she was an intern?
Yeah.
And he said, she moved here because she loved you.
Yeah.
I ain't like your ass from the beginning.
Yeah.
And you're the reason. So, like, I think it's going to be 50-50. Like, people are going to feel different ways about her. But in the grand scheme of things, it's kind of like what Papa Pope was saying, where even though he had to do some shady things, it was for the greater good. Mm. Granted, Olivia didn't always do it for the greater good.
For the Republic.
For the Republic.
Oh, yes.
And as Quinn would say, shut up. That was funny. I actually enjoyed that. I enjoyed that line. That was good.
Shut up.
Which is like, what does that even mean? Like, yes. What is the Republic?
Oh my God. Seems like the chat is like pretty on the mistress train. She'll always be the mistress, Kimberly Mayfield says. And the Queen of Regal says, chief staff. Fixer, mistress, command, girlfriend, legacy, right hand, all of it.
Prince Charles, Camilla was his mistress. Do we call, and some people still remember that, but a lot of people don't, is she known as now his wife, or is she known as his mistress turned wife? Because to me, that's kind of a good scope. She's the only mistress that was turned.
Well, I still think it's 50-50. I feel like it's one of those things where some people bring it up. And then some people are just like, oh, this is why. Like, I think what this situation will always be, some people will look at it as Olivia is the mistress, and some people will be like, but Olivia is Olivia Pope. Yeah. That's the Olivia Pope. Like, I feel like my parents, regardless of the situation, they would be like, but that's Olivia Pope.
Right.
Olivia Pope went in there, and she worked for this president and this president, and she did that.
I think her body of work speaks more for her than who she slept with, in my opinion. But
it's generational.
Yeah. It is.
Who remembers it? When that time comes. But she did make, I love that line, I think it was like an episode or two episodes ago, she made two presidents.
She did.
Just say that?
She did.
Like, she got both the grants elected, two of them.
That's so huge. Really quick, I have Shonda Rhimes' response to the same question, which is why I asked it, because she was asked what she hopes.
She had her on the line.
Olivia.
How you doing, girl? Your book is great.
But I feel like it's kind of what we already talked about. She said, I feel like she's been a very three-dimensional, independent woman who was, and at the time when female characters weren't really anti-heroes and anti-hero. And now it feels very normal and obvious that female characters can be anti-heroes, and it feels normal and obvious that women of color can lead the shows. So hopefully that is something that this show has done.
Mm. Yes.
Okay, Shonda.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes.
So that's she's good. Even talking about her outside of the show legacy. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, I don't think this would be a good scandal recap if we don't do our Shady Boots moment one last time. Yes. So cue the music.
Get ready to shake your shoulders, guys.
These boots are made for walking. And that's just what they'll do.
Uh-huh.
One of these days, these boots are gonna walk all over you.
Okay, flesh. And that was actually started by our old panelist.
Yes.
Ryan Graham, we got to shout you out. He was our panel member last year who coined the term shady boots.
Yes.
Yes.
He was talking about who's being shady this episode. They're wearing some shady boots and it stuck. So there we go. Yes. Shady boots moment, guys. I actually didn't even have one this episode.
I didn't have one.
Which is so bad. I know, but I didn't have one.
I feel like it wasn't even a good shady boots moment, but the shut up line was just
great. It was a good one.
That was a good one. My shady boots moment is in the parking lot. When David was talking to Jake, and he was like, go ahead, shoot me like your daddy told you to.
Oh. It's
like, you about to get shot, but like, that was next. But yeah, that was a good line.
That was
a little shady. That little shady.
Cornelia, I know you have a
shady boots.
Let's do a cold piece of the week.
Bringing it back, guys.
Cold piece of the week is a segment that I used to do at the end of the episode. Her cold piece could be good or bad. It's, you know, your mom like, girl, you cold piece. It could mean anything. So for the final scandal episode of the series, cold piece of the week goes to one Miss Kerry Washington for carrying this role with such grace and with such class. Even when people would come up to her on the street and yell at her and talk or whatever because they thought she was the actual Olivia Pope. They didn't stand for what Olivia was actually doing for her. Her cold piece of the week, Shonda Rhimes gets cold piece of the week for just being Shonda Rhimes and giving us this show and something to gather around and come as a community and talk about every week for 7 years.
Mm.
And then cold piece of the week goes to all of the viewers at AfterBuzz who have stuck by from season one. All the way to today, season 7.
Yes.
You saw the old regime, the new regime. You accepted the new regime with open arms and you embraced them. And for that, we just want to, you know, me and Emil and I, Bam and Sophia, we just say thank you and blessings to you all, four, for taking it and running with it and making it even bigger and better than what we could have imagined and what we thought. So, cold piece goes to fans and y'all.
Thanks. For
any Emil's tears. Because this dude right here was the ballin' crying. So, cold piece goes to Emil Ennis Jr.
Aww. That's so sweet.
And his paper towel.
I'm about to have a little tear.
I know.
Don't cry.
Before we get the tears out, I do want to say, if you're watching or you're watching later, thank you to Zoe Perry. Thank you to Tony Goldwyn. Thank you to George Newbern for coming through to Jeff Perry, who came through on a previous season.
Mm-hmm.
All the guests from the show who have showed us love, thank you so, so much. It means so much to us, to the fans who watch our show every week. Like, thank you so much for showing us love. And thank you to you guys for being such a bomb-ass panel.
Yes.
I know personally this was my first show at AfterBuzz that I was asked to lead host, and it definitely has left a lasting impact on me and everything that Kerry has brought to the show, everything about the show, all the black love, power, all the messages that it sent. Like, it's something that's impacted me forever, and I'll never, ever forget. So thank you, guys.
Final thoughts?
She's speechless.
I'm sad.
Yeah. Yes. Just thank you guys for being great panelists. Thank you guys for pushing me. I know sometimes I didn't talk. Sometimes I didn't talk. You guys and the viewers would push me too. Like, Paris, say something. So just thank you guys for my growth.
Yeah.
God, this is really kind of hitting me for a second, but I'm not. I just want to say thank you to all of our viewers. Thank you for riding with all of my crazy theories and the thought processes and the stuff that we discussed and just really experiencing Scandal through our eyes. You guys are committed. You guys comment and tweet us every single week.
Every week.
And we were overwhelmed. Thank you for accepting us as new panelists after the OGs set the table. Thank you to the OGs because we wouldn't be here. Talk about stepping on shoulders. My goodness, we wouldn't be here if y'all didn't start it and make this show amazing on this platform. And gosh, this is my first AfterBuzz show, period. Mm-hmm. So that is monumental. And I don't know. I'm happy that we got to do this. And this will forever be a bond.
Forever.
And
Close
you got to.
So I look at the camera. AfterBuzz, when I started AfterBuzz, I was still a boy from Atlanta who moved out to LA with a dream. I was still in the closet. I was scared of what people would think. I was not myself. I was not authentic. And Kevin Undergaro gave me the opportunity to host the Scandal After Show. And I think the reason why I drank so much wine tonight is because not only the show's ending, but because this show just literally, and this after show just has such a special place in my heart. Yeah. And the reason why I wanted to come tonight was to say like a final goodbye, which is hard for me because my life has changed so much since I did that after show. I met my boyfriend at AfterBuzz. I just think I met my sisters and my so this show isn't just a show to me, and I think for me it's really hard to let it go, but it's also a signal of change and growth, and I'm so glad that you guys got to come in and experience this. And it was so hard for me to let this show go as my baby. And I remember after I came last year, met you guys, I was very happy with who took over. And I know this won't be the last time that I interact with you guys. I'm just so grateful for this show giving me the opportunity to express who I am, for letting me make these wonderful connections, for giving me a platform to express who I am as a person. Cornelia knows, because Cornelia was always sitting right next to me on the show when I came out on air for the first time. Cornelia was right there next to me. It was when James died, I finally said on air for the first time that I'm gay. And I just have so many memories connected to this after show and to this show. So I'm just so grateful for everything. And I'm truly going to miss this, but you know, it will be on Netflix, so if I ever need to go back, I am there. Yes. And it's bittersweet, but I'm grateful. I'm grateful. I'm happy and I'm grateful. And no more wine for me.
Thank you, Shonda.
Yes, thank you guys. Thank you, Shonda. Caring, thank you,
Tony,
Maria Menounos, and Katie. Kevin Undergaro.
Yes,
for giving us this platform. CEO. Thank you. Yes. Well, that's it, guys. Yeah. We are officially wrapped. I'm still going to be talking about Scandal for as long as I want. So find me on Twitter. I don't know how to put it. Find me on Twitter at Christine Bean with 3 E's. Let's stay in touch, guys. We're all going to continue hosting here. So follow us, follow our journeys, our careers, and continue to love Scandal the way we do. Tessa, where can they find you?
Hi, guys. I'm so happy you joined us. You guys can find me on all social media at Tessa_Saval.
Bye, guys. I'm going to really miss your comments. I gotta shout out Quintessential and also Escales on YouTube comments because I love your novel comments. And you guys can find me, everywhere on social media at Paris Rose with 2 R's.
And I'll shout out Sarah B. And on YouTube, BSB Girl, who brings it every week. Love you. We love you so much. I'm Jessica Williams. You can find me on Twitter at Miss Jessica WW and on Instagram at Miss Jessica Williams.
And our guests, yeah. Where can they find you?
You can find both of us and Sophia, Sophia Stanley.
Oh, yeah, Sophia, wait. Oh. Sophia, yeah. Actually... Okay, so we do a podcast outside of this called Happy Hour Shout Out Conversation. Sophia couldn't be here tonight, but if you go to iTunes or any podcast platform, search for Happy Hour Shout Out Conversation. Sophia actually said her goodbye on our podcast, so she couldn't be here.
Okay, good.
So again, Happy Hour Shout Out Conversation, iTunes, all apps for podcasts can be heard. You can find me at Canelia on social media or Canelia.com, which Emil designed because he has the fire graphics work. And that's where you can find me. Keep up with me. I'm on stage throughout LA, so if you want to check some shows out, just holler at me.
Yes,
and you can find me at Emil Ennis Jr. Online, and it's been a pleasure. I love each and every one of you, all the gladiators who have stayed till the very end. love you guys so much,
and that's a wrap.
It's a wrap.
Bye.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.